James chapter number 5, very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to go somewhere with it tonight, and I want to try to help us in light of the shape that America is in today, in light of the things that's going on in America. I'm not going to spend a lot of time dwelling on the negative, but I want to try to dwell a little bit tonight on the positive, and I want to try to help us tonight as God's people. James chapter 5, verse number 16, very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now, if you go back to verse number 15, the Bible there says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he've committed sin, they shall be forgiven him." And he's dealing with, in the earlier part of those verses or that chapter, he's dealing with sickness. Any that's afflicted or in the church that's sick, let them pray. And he's dealing with that, dealing with the prayer of faith. It's not the oil that heals, but it's the faith of the individual. They believe by faith, Lord, heal them. Amen. Lord, touch them if it's his will. And he does that. But here the Bible says that we're to confess our faults one to another. And I'm going to just interject something real quickly right there. Some things don't need to be told. Amen. When it talks about confessing your faults one to another, if it's not known, sometimes it don't need to be known. Amen. There's some things that are done that only God knows and only God needs to know. Amen. I'm not saying cover up sin. I'm not condoning that at all, but I'm just saying sometimes you cause more problems opening your mouth if you just kept your mouth shut. Amen. Moving right along. Amen. So when it says confess your faults, that means when those faults are known. People know that we've committed these acts or whatever, so we confess those one to another. Thy brother offend thee, amen, you go to him. And those kinds of things, what it's dealing with. And pray one for another. Boy, how we need to be praying for one another, amen, right. Praying for each other. Here the Bible mentions here in the latter part, the latter phrase, the effectual fervent prayer of a certain type of individual. Now I want to deal tonight with just the simple thought of the prayer for America. I'm telling you, America needs prayer.
Amen.
America is in bad shape, spiritually speaking, financially speaking, mentally speaking. America is in dire straits. Now, I realize the Bible teaches us that evil men are going to wax worse and worse. Things are not going to get better. They're only going to get worse. Everything's lining up for the coming of the Antichrist and the coming of Christ. Amen. Things are lining up for that. And it makes it a little more easier for us to believe the Scripture because we see what is taking place in people being so gullible and people believing a lie over the truth. And so that's exactly what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes on the scene. He's going to try to explain away the Scripture and explain away the rapture of the church, and people are going to be gullible, believe a lie. I'm not preaching that direction tonight. I'm going to leave that alone tonight anyway. But I want us to understand tonight, first of all, that the Bible does teach us as individuals that we're to pray. Amen? And I know that a lot of times in churches, a lot of pastors, I mean, I'm guilty myself of getting up and saying, well, let's pray for, you know, whatever or whoever, and just kind of leave it at that, and it's kind of generic. But as I said during the Jubilee meeting, we need to be specific in our prayers. Whenever we're praying for America, we need to be specific in our prayer. And I've got a thing listed tonight. I've got two pages I'm going to pass out. I don't know if I got enough for everybody, but I got enough for y'all to share when I get to that point. I'm going to pass it out. And you can take that with you. And it's kind of it's not a prayer that you got to pray it like this. It's kind of a model prayer to give you some ideas and some direction to go when you're praying for America. Let me give you just a little bit about America and some things about our great nation. First of all, the prosperity, the strength, and the spirituality of America, the land of liberty, has allowed it to stand head and shoulders above all other nations. Amen. America being one of the greatest nations for a long time, or being the great nation for a long time. America has been viewed by so many as the envy of much of the world. Amen. A lot of other nations would love to be what America is and love to have the things that America has, the strength that she has, the prosperity that she has, even the spirituality that America has. A lot of other nations envy our nation, America. America was no accident, amen? It didn't just happen to be here. It didn't just happen along. It was no accident. Its birth was no accident. Its growth was no accident. And the current state of chaos is not an accident, amen? God knows exactly what's happening. God has a plan. God has a purpose. I believe personally myself the purpose for the chaos in America right now is to awaken God's people. Amen? I'll get to that in a minute. The reason America has prospered so well above all other nations is because America has been blessed by God. One of the things that kind of drives a little nerve in me, and I try not to get nervy around people, but people make the comment to God to bless America. My friend, God has blessed America. Amen? America would not be where America is at today had God not blessed this nation. Our nation would be in worse shape than what it is. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, righteousness exalteth a nation. The reason why America has been exalted is because so many righteous people have lived in America. Amen. Righteousness has exalted this nation. With large numbers or large groups of people living righteously, that group that lives righteously, according to the Scripture, will be exalted. Amen. That's why America is in the shape she's in, a prosperous, prospering, and with the strength that she has in these days. That's exactly how America obtained great favor with God, and God has blessed America. The Bible also states in Psalms 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now we know, we understand that it's talking about the nation of Israel. We all understand that, but there's no doubt that we can assume that that principle applies to every nation. Amen. Every nation whose God is the Lord, amen, he will bless that nation. It's no doubt that America has been blessed today by a large degree because God has been the Lord of so many lives in America. Now, if you study your Baptist history, which I hope you do, if you hadn't, I hope that you will, but we know that Baptists helped lay the foundation for America. And those godly men and women that stood for what was right and lived righteously in this America, in this nation. Righteousness has exalted this nation. That righteousness was the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ who preached and practiced that righteousness and caused the blessings of God to fall upon this nation. Now, let me clear something up real quickly. We understand the Scripture teaches that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen? That verse of Scripture is dealing with our good works, and our right living will not get us into heaven. Amen? That righteousness and will not pay the price for the sinner's debt that is owed. Being good, being a good person, being a right person, having morals and standards and all that, that righteousness don't get you to heaven. Amen? We know that. We understand that. Our righteousness is as filthy rags when it comes to salvation and getting us in heaven before the throne of God. But we also know that the Bible teaches us that we're to live holy, righteously, in this ungodly and crooked, perverse world. Amen? And so that is right living. And so we find as we study the righteousness that has exalted a nation, it's the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those churches has preached the gospel, and those individuals have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they have lived a right life in this nation. Amen? And that has been well-pleasing unto the Lord. One of the biggest problems we have in our day is people do not understand what right living is. Amen? They don't understand righteous living or living holy. They think because so-and-so does it, and they say they're a Christian, that it must be okay, and they scale their life by the life of others. Amen? That's not the Scripture. That's not the way that's to be done. We're to live our life according to the will of God, what is well-pleasing in His sight. That's why God has exalted America, and that righteousness that has made this nation what it is. That righteousness was the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ who preached and practiced that righteousness and caused the blessings of God to fall upon this nation. Let me say this tonight. We don't need to be out in the streets rioting and looting and protesting and doing all those things and tossing our weight around and being angry and being mad. We don't need to be out doing all that. What America needs is the churches, God's people, being on their knees before the throne of God and doing more there on our knees than what we ever can do out there in the streets. Amen? We need to get a hold of God and pray that God would help our nation, would strengthen our leaders, would help the governor and his dumb tough decisions, amen, and quit picking on him and just listen, pray for the man that God would help him see what he needs to do and do the correct thing, the right thing, amen, to help the nation and the people that make up this nation.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, righteousness has exalted this nation. It is not that this nation has been blessed in some sort of generic sort of way, but America has been blessed specifically because God has been the Lord over so many Baptist people's lives. Amen. I know there's some non-Baptists that contribute to the foundation of America, but primarily, mostly, the Baptists had a lot of influence on the foundation of America. And those godly people that lived godly lives and prayed and stood against wickedness and what was wrong, those people is what caused America to have favor with God. This is not an assumption. This is not a guess. Amen. This is not wishful thinking. This is absolute historical fact. And we can prove that. I can prove it to you. There's plenty of books that can prove it to you where people have done studies on the Baptists and the foundation of America. Let me give you an example. Jubal Stearns at Sandy Creek, not too far from here, in 1755, started the work, started the church under a tree. And listen, God blessed that man and blessed those individuals that started that work. Souls were saved. Lives were changed. Amen. They live righteous. They live holy. And God blessed that work. And thousands of churches was birthed all over America because of one individual obeying God and those people being right with God and living right. And God blessed that. And listen, we have a lot to learn from that as America was birthed with churches and America was blessed by God because of their righteous living. Amen. If you study the lives of Baptist forefathers, the foundation of America, you'll find those facts. Amen. The gospel that the Baptists have preached all across this nation has changed many of lives from that of heathens to upstanding Christians, upstanding believers. Amen. Y'all know as well as I know many heathens, amen, that's been saved by the grace of God. Here's one standing before you, amen, that God saved out of the pits of hell and the gates of hell. I was on my way to the devil's hell, amen, and God saved me, amen. Made me who I am today. I am what I am by the grace of God. Thank God for grace, amen. We know a lot of people like that. And that gospel that the Baptists preached, it was a life-changing gospel, and it still works today. Amen. God's people are the salt of the earth. God's people are the light of the world, according to the Word of God. Amen. Right. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. How are they ever going to know unless they see? How are they ever going to know unless they hear? Amen. They must hear. They've got to see it. It's one thing to hear a preacher preach a message from the Word of God, but it's another thing to see how he lives his life. Amen and amen. It's one thing to know that you go to church, that your neighbors know that you get up and go to church, but it's another thing that your neighbors know how you live your life.
Amen.
Amen. It makes a big difference. Now tonight, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but y'all just hang in there, all right? We just understand tonight that America is made up of godly people and the Baptist that has laid the foundation of our nation, and God has blessed this nation because of such individuals. I believe we still have a responsibility in our day to keep holding the light, passing the baton. Amen. Still being the salt of the earth, still being the light of the world. Wherever we are and whatever we do. It's always the presence and the blessings of God when God's people are living righteously and holy.
Amen.
Amen. You know why America's in the shape she's in tonight? Because the churches, God's churches, have dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Amen. They've dropped the ball on being righteous. They'd rather turn to apostasy. They'd rather believe a lie than believe the truth. They'd rather be wicked than be godly. Amen. And we're living in such a dire straits in our nation today because of God's people. Not all of God's people, but a lot of them. Amen. We're still to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. With that being said, and the fact that we're fixing to celebrate Independence Day, it is vital. It is vital that you and I know our place in this nation as a people of America. We need to know our responsibility to our nation. Let me say this now. I know they mock us and they make fun of us. They talk about us. They ridicule us. They censor our messages on Facebook and every other social media. And they talk about how wicked and ungodly we are. And there's a lot of wicked and ungodliness in the churches. I know that. I understand that. But those that are living righteously and godly in this present world, we still have a responsibility to pray for our nation, to pray for those people, to pray for the heathens, to pray for the wicked man, the ungodliness and the worldliness. We still have a responsibility to pray for them and to seek God on their behalf as interceders for their soul. Amen? Their soul is still vitally important to the Lord because the Bible says the Lord's not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
Makes no difference who they are. And it's our responsibility as God's people, amen? And our place in this nation is not to ridicule and to run down and to try to destroy and attack people that's in position of leadership, but our duty is to pray for them. Ask God to help them, give them wisdom. We've said this many times before. Pray for the nation. Pray for our nation. That's generic. Amen?
Right.
Pray for our leaders. That's generic. How should we pray for them?
Right.
Well, first of all, let's pray they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? I know that our president's done many times. He's picked the Bible up and held the Bible up. They ridiculed, mocked him, made fun of him for holding the Bible up. That doesn't get him to heaven, amen? I don't know his soul's condition. I'm praying that our president knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I understand he's a politician. I understand he's controlled by a lot of other people, amen? He has to make decisions in the White House. He has to make decisions and others has to agree to it. And I know that's a complicated position to be in. But I'm praying that his soul, when he leaves this world and goes to the next, that he don't die and go to hell.
Amen.
Amen. I know he's made some good decisions and I like our president. Amen. That's
amen.
Plug for Trump 2021. Amen.
Amen.
22, 23, 24. Amen. Here the Bible teaches us though that the effectual fervent prayer in the book of James of a righteous man, not the apostate individuals, not the ungodly, not the worldly carnal Christian. Amen.
Right.
Not those that play church. Not those that pretend to be in church or be a part of the church. But the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's the one that's doing what is well pleasing unto the Lord. That prayer availeth much. Amen. And so it's vitally important we understand our position, first of all, in salvation, where we are in Christ. Listen, we're not saved because of our good works and our righteousness. We're saved because of Christ's righteousness. It's been imputed unto us. Amen. We understand that. We know that. And listen, we understand that as God's children, we have a responsibility to live righteously, holy in this present world. And others see us. We are the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And others see us. They know how we act. They know our attitudes and our actions and our tempers and all those things. Amen. They know that. And it's our responsibility to understand where God has us in this day and know what He wants us to do in this day as God's people. And not follow the stinking crowd,
amen,
but follow the Lord and the Word of God.
Amen.
It's vital that we know that. And it's also vital that we know how to pray for our nation.
Amen.
We need to know how to pray for them. It's vital that we know that. Amen. The effectual fervent prayer is the most amazing thing. Dr. David Cloud put it this way. He said it's a petition to the highest power. It's a direct line. It does not have to go through any channels. It does not depend on elections or political ties. It does not require a majority. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It cannot be stopped by anyone, not by mocking, not by legislation, not by demonstrations, not by threats, not by riots. Atheists and communists and woke universities and God-hating global corporations cannot stop it.
Amen.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Let me just put a little tag in there for that word man. That's mankind. Okay, so ladies, don't be offended by that. Y'all can pray too. The effectual fervent prayer of mankind. Amen. I'm not trying to change the word of God. That's what it means. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible says, verse 17, Elias was man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Whoa, wait a minute, preacher. He was a prophet. He was one of those saints of God. Well, the Scripture says he was a man subject to like peasants as we are. In other words, he's just like we were. Serving the same God we serve. Amen. God hasn't changed. Man's changed. He prayed, did it not rain? It didn't rain. 3 years, 6 months. He prayed again. The heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. The effectual fervent prayer has a result. The Bible says it availeth much. Amen. We know the election's coming up. We know that it ain't going to be long. We're going to have the opportunity to vote and pray that earnestly, specifically pray that people will vote conservatively. Amen. If you don't know who's on a conservative ticket or who on a ticket is conservative, look it up. Do some research. Do some studying. Amen. Ask your pastor. Amen. And listen, we need to pray that we can have some conservatives in the office. But I want to go with this direction tonight. I know it's going to be a little lengthy, so you just bear with me. Well, we take this piece of paper and we go to our prayer closet and it gives us some ideas on how to pray. I have a book that I wrote on. I've got several books that I wrote and I'm thinking about getting them reprinted. I haven't had any printed in a long time. I found out a couple of weeks ago they still have all my books there at the print shop and I can get them redone if I want to. But I did one on the spiritual guide for the family and I did that on how to pray. How to pray for yourself, how to pray for your family, how to pray for your children, how to pray for your spouse and things like that. I dealt with all those things in that book. Because so many times we're told to pray and we don't know how to pray. So whenever we take this piece of paper into our prayer closet, first of all, it starts off with our Father which art in heaven, come in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. And I want to say this to you. You don't have to repeat this. There's nothing wrong with repeating this. But you can tweak this to your own liking. Amen. If you want to jot something down on your piece of paper and make it fit to what you want to say, that's fine. You're talking to the Lord, so this has got to come from the heart. Don't try to quote this and read it verbatim, all right? Your prayers come from the effectual, fervent prayer, amen. This is just a guide. We want to obey you in praying as taught in Scripture. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, for kings, for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We thank you for America, which has been such a fortress of liberty, such a gospel light to the ends of the earth, such a nation of the book in a unique way, such a land of opportunity. We acknowledge America's wickedness and unworthiness of your mercy. We acknowledge that you are just in withholding your blessings and in exercising judgment. We know that America has sinned against great light. We know that the vast majority of the churches that name the name of Christ are either apostate are lukewarm and worldly, and this is the fundamental problem. We know that the popular Christianity of America is the apostasy we read about in Scripture, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn unto fable. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. We claim no righteousness of our own, but we claim the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, which was put to our account by your free grace. So we know that we can pray in confidence that your ears are open. The Scriptures tells us the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Psalms 34, verse 15. We are told, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. We're also told in the Scriptures, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Also, we are told, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. We are told, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. We know these verbs are present tense, and therefore signify continuous tense. So we ask, and keep on asking. And we seek, and keep on seeking, and we knock and keep on knocking. We pray for mercy from the God who is rich in mercy. We pray that we can live quiet and peaceable lives. We pray for godliness to prevail in the churches and honesty to prevail in society. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. We pray that you will deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. That you will confound the wicked and frustrate their purposes. Well, I'm telling you, we need to circle that, highlight it, underline it, and everything else. Amen. Pray that you will deliver us from the unreasonable and the wicked men. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse number 2. We pray that you give wisdom and divine help to our president, our congressmen, our judges, our governors, our mayors. Pray that you will bless those who seek to follow our Constitution and prevent those who seek to tear it down. Pray that you will confound anarchists. Pray that you will give wisdom to and encourage our law enforcers. Pray that you will prevail over the lawless. For you have said that you have ordained the powers that be, and they are empowered to be a terror to the evil, and a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. Romans chapter 13, verse 3 and 4. We pray that the current crisis will drive a great many churches to wake up and be a pillar and ground of truth that you have ordained, that they will repent of lukewarmness and worldliness and walk in holiness and obedience and true pilgrim Christianity, preaching a pure gospel far and wide, discipling every believer, building godly homes, raising up godly seed for your eternal glory, training effectual preachers, founding new churches. We pray that you will bless community after community with sound, life-changing New Testament churches, pastors that will preach the Scriptures fearlessly and without compromise, churches that will stand against the world, the flesh, and the devil in all its subtle forms and not bow before Nashville or Hollywood or surrender to Facebook. We pray that you will bring spirit-wrought conviction and repentance and saving faith to many souls. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. We pray for the salvation of many immigrants who have settled in America from many places yet still abide in pagan darkness. We pray that you will push back atheism, agnosticism, and communism. Father, we don't ask for justice, we ask for mercy. We don't ask these things for ourselves. Ask them for your eternal glory in Jesus Christ. But that's how we need to pray. Amen. For America. Amen. Pray for the men of God that stand behind the sacred desk. Pray for the missionaries that God will give them words of wisdom and give them courage and boldness. Amen. As they stand to preach. And I know in our day there's a lot of fear. A lot of men are fearful to say certain things. There's a big upset about 501c3 and the Constitution being tax exempt and all that kind of stuff. Listen, there's a lot of lies about that stuff too. Amen. The state doesn't tell us what to preach, doesn't tell us what we can't preach. We preach the Word of God. Amen. And we preach the whole counsel of God. State doesn't have anything to do with that. They don't mandate what we can and can't say. The only thing with the 501c3 that the state has any power over the church is we cannot promote any political party. Amen. I can't have President Trump to come and speak and promote his agenda. He can come and speak, but he can't promote his agenda. He can't tell you to vote for him. Things like that. That's the way that works, all right? So don't let people confuse you about that. We need to pray for truth, amen? That truth will prevail, and truth will be preached in these days. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Scripture says, availeth much. And it is our responsibility. It is our duty. It is our command to pray earnestly, fervently for our nation, amen, for our leaders, for the men of God, for the missionaries. I mention it every service. Pray for our missionaries. And I don't take that lightly. I mean that. Amen. Pray earnestly for the missionaries. You never know what they're facing. You never know the battles that they're going through. Brother Gary Chris stood and told the story of one missionary that was on the field by himself, and the tribal leader was coming to kill and to take him out. The men of the tribe was going to kill him. And they said that he was praying. And anyway, the story went on. I don't know all the details about it. Anyway, he said it didn't happen. That night they didn't kill him. And so finally that tribal leader got saved. And he asked him later on in time to come. They asked the missionary asked the tribal leader, said, "Why didn't you come? I knew that you was coming to attack me that night." He said, "Well, you have all those guards around you. We couldn't get to you. We were scared to come in there." He said, "There's 47 soldiers standing there guarding that man." And They got to talking back and forth, and anyway, that missionary was talking to someone else along the way, telling that story, and the individual said, "Preacher," he said, "what night was that?" And he's looking through his journal, and he told him exactly what night it was. He said, "There was 47 men at the house of God that night praying for that one particular missionary." Amen. And listen, it availeth much. You can believe that if you want to, don't have to. I believe it, amen. I believe God answers prayer. I believe God does amazing things. Listen, a lot of times our missionaries are on the field and facing battles and facing heartaches, and I try to read every letter when it comes in. I get a bunch of letters, and I try to skim through them and read the highlights, especially the prayer request, and see what they're going through, what they're facing. But we are to pray for them, amen. We support them financially. A lot of them we can't support financially, but we do support them prayerfully, amen. And we pray for those men of God that preach the truth, and pray for the Brother Arnold that carries missionaries and moves them all over the United States. I mean, what a ministry that is, and the boys and girls homes and the orphans and all that. I'm telling you, we've got a lot to be praying for, amen. I used to think that Sweet Hour Prayer, when they sung that song, I thought, well, there ain't no way. I mean, I can't pray for an hour. I'll tell you, you can sit and pray all day long if you get your heart right, amen. And you get your notes out and begin to look at all the things we need to pray for. And you can spend a whole day in prayer. Amen. Maybe we ought to rewrite that song, girls. Maybe y'all work on that sweet day of prayer. I don't know. But listen, we've got a lot to be praying for. Amen. And our nation needs it. We're fixing to celebrate our independence. And if we ain't careful, we're going to lose our independence. We're going to be the separated states instead of the United States. And I'm glad I read the news today where the crazy people out there in Seattle, the CHOP organization, got chopped, amen? Yep. And they said it took them a whole 8 minutes to shut that mess down. Well, what in the world? We wonder what took so long. Why did they get away with that for so long? I'll tell you why they got away with it for so long, because somebody somewhere wasn't praying. Right. Amen? Amen? We need to pray for our nation.
Amen.
Pray one for another. Confess our faults one to another. Keep our hearts right and clean with the Lord. Make sure there's nothing between us and the Lord. If we need to go to the Lord in prayer at a moment's notice, we need to be ready to do that. Amen? Yes. Need to be available to do that. If we're righteous and we're living right before God, that's not going to be a problem.
Right.
Amen? Our nation depends on that. Right. They may mock us and make fun of us, but they don't realize how much they depend on us.
Right. Amen.
Amen? So let's pray. All right? Pray for one another. Pray for our nation. And there's lots of names on the prayer list. Lots of folks are sick. And I don't mean this in a harmful way. Don't take this harm or being critical, but we have a lot of folks that are on a prayer list that are just sick. Now, there's nothing wrong praying for the sick. Scripture teaches pray for the sick, but a lot of our prayer lists are made up of just the sick folk. What about those that are leading the churches? What about those pastors, the missionaries? What about the other individuals, the governors, the people that make up our nation? Amen. Well, we need to be praying for them also. Amen. Not just for folks that are sick. Don't just pray for the sick folk. Let's pray for everybody. Amen. And I do pray for those that are on our prayer list that are sick. Many folks are battling cancer and other sicknesses and diseases. And it's our responsibility to pray for them. Amen. Try to lift them up. Try to encourage them. I try my best to do that, best I can. But that's what we're obligated to do. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you don't see much happening in your prayer life, maybe it's time to check up on your righteousness. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the wonderful privilege you've given us to be in your house.